In just a moment, Generations with Kevin Swanson. But first, this. The World View in 5 minutes.
It's Thursday, October 15th, 2015 AD. This is The World View in 5 minutes. I'm Adam McManus. CNN gleefully touted Hillary Clinton the winner of Tuesday's Democratic presidential debate. Bernie Sanders seemed unable to leave his talking points, and Vice President Joe Biden, who still has not declared a bid for president, kept everyone, even CNN, guessing if he would show up for the debate. A spare lectern at the ready was never needed, as Biden was a surprise no-show. Clinton attempted to gain a firm footing during the debate after the shaky start to her campaign. The most memorable moment of the night might be the big laugh Sanders received when he said he agreed with Mrs. Clinton and that he and America are tired of hearing about her email scandal. The major topics covered included alleged climate change and a heated discussion over gun violence. Planned Parenthood was mentioned only once in a comment of praise from Hillary. MSNBC noted religious freedom, faith, or radical Islam were not mentioned once. The fear of God was not before their eyes. Steve Dace, political commentator and conservative radio host, told The World View the debate would set a world record of pronouns, I, me, and you. The message of government is God was pushed strongly throughout the night, he said.
That will set an all-time record for the most use of personal pronouns in the history of modern broadcasting. I, me, you will be said quite a bit, because it'll be a self-driven worldview, that government will be granted a place of exaltation, and that essentially the third thing is you're going to watch what amounts to more of an auction than a debate, where people are going to stand up there and auction off, like pickpockets, after they steal your belongings, auction them off to people they don't belong to. That's exactly what you're going to see in this debate tonight with your productivity.
Israel is deploying a new wave of troops into cities around Israel following the deadly Palestinian shootings and stabbings. The government is closing off the Arab portions of the city on the suspicion the attackers came from that area. No more bacon in the federal prison diet, says a new policy set by President Barack Obama. Edmund Ross, spokesman for the Prison Bureau, said the decision was made after pork was rated the lowest food in the prison diet for years. According to the report in WorldNet Daily, the decision guarantees to devastate 200,000 inmates. Another alleged ISIS-associated hostage video was released today. The video is of four hostages, three men and a Filipino woman. The kidnapping group does not identify their affiliation, but a jihadi flag, very similar to the black and white flag borne by the Islamic State, was seen in the background. The Abu Sayyaf Islamist group is a local presence in the area. Exodus 21:16 has serious words for the kidnapper. Whoever steals a man and sells him, and anyone found in possession of him, shall be put to death. Following a Dutch safety board report on the downing of Malaysian Air Flight MH17 by a Russian-made missile, the Ukraine is now conducting a criminal investigation. 15 months of inquiries turned up missile fragments in the cockpit crew's bodies. This comes along with a claim from the board that the missile was shot from an area in the Ukraine occupied by Russian separatists. Six people have been arrested after a 19-year-old young man died of traumatic injuries in New Hartford, New York. Sadly, the six people are from the Word of Life Christian Church, where the beating took place, according to the investigation. May those guilty of the crime be given due justice, according to the law in Exodus 20:13. Thou shalt not kill. It's been 6 months since Syrian priest Jacques Murad was kidnapped. By the mercies of God, he was released on Saturday. Murad was captured during the Islamic State seizure of Palmyra in May. John Bunyan, William Tyndale, and many other godly men would be grieved at the state of the Church of England today. Hundreds of years after their deaths, there are less than 800,000 worshippers who attend the church in England every Sunday. During the latest government census, it was discovered that the Church of England still has the largest Christian population in the world, but that number has decreased by 4 million since 2001. There are so few people attending many of the old cathedrals, they are considering turning them into, quote, holiday churches, unquote, for Easter and Christmas. 1 Timothy 4:1 says, Now the Spirit speaks clearly that in the latter days some shall depart from the faith, giving heed to seducing spirits and doctrines of devils. America is now considered the most prosperous and the most obese country in the world, according to a study from the Organization for Economic Cooperation and Development. Deuteronomy 32:15 rings true of so many who have forgotten God and turned to other gods. But Jeshurun grew fat and kicked. You grew fat, stout, and sleek. Then he forsook God who made him and scoffed at the rock of his salvation. The Chinese president has instigated the worst persecution Chinese Christians have experienced in 20 years. Despite the growing persecution, the Church of China is burgeoning more every day. Truly, the Chinese Christians have learned the meaning of Jesus' words when he said in Matthew 5:11-13, "Blessed are you when men shall revile you and persecute you, and shall say all manner of evil against you falsely for my sake. Rejoice and be exceedingly glad, for great is your reward in heaven, for they persecuted the prophets who were before you. You are the salt of the earth, but if the salt loses its saltiness, how can it be made salty again? It is no longer good for anything except to be thrown out and trampled underfoot." Pray the Chinese Christians would know they are daily laying up treasures in heaven by their stand for the truth. And that's the world view in 5 minutes on this Thursday, October 15th, in the year of our Lord, 2015. I'm Adam McManus. Seize the day for Jesus Christ.
Well, we got a little different song here or there, Bill.
We do. I think we've kind of toned it down a little bit. Yeah. Right.
Last night I heard this politician
maybe not.
Talking about his brand new mission. Liked his plans, but they came undone when it got around to God and gun.
Ooh, are we politically incorrect here?
You know,
I don't know how
it's that
he
season.
Grew up, but it sure wasn't down at the hunting club. Cause if it was, he'd understand just a little bit more about the working man.
God and guns.
God and guns. Keep us strong.
You know, those are the two issues that I believe are the political issues
That's
of the day.
Yeah.
And they're dominating the presidential race. They're dominating the concerns that people have.
Yes.
God and guns. And we don't have time to talk about guns. We're just going to shoot our mouth off.
That's right.
And we're going to be talking about the concerns that people have about God in the public square.
Yeah.
And what we're going to do about that and how we are going to assert our liberties in a day and age which it is in which it is politically incorrect to mention God publicly, reverently.
That's right. But before we go on, I mean, this is Generations Radio. We didn't really introduce that, did we?
Yeah, and I'm Bill Jack.
And I'm Steve Vaughn, and we're here in my basement once again while Kevin is frolicking about, I believe, in Hawaii.
Yes.
And so he left it up to you and I to do a couple shows this week.
Just the two of us.
Yeah.
Just the two of us, and we are filling in for Kevin. Huh. How can one do that?
You really can't.
He's a rolling ball of butcher knives, isn't
he?
Yes,
he is.
Yes.
And so we step aside and we do what we can, and then he comes back and tries to clean it up.
Yep, that's right. So we're going to be talking about the concern that Americans have with religious freedom and the loss of religious freedom. There's a Barna survey that came out, a new study conducted by Barna Group, that shows millions of adults, particularly active Protestants, are concerned that religious liberties are under threat. Now, we've talked about on this program various aspects of that, from the baker in Colorado here to the bakers in Oregon to the florist in Washington State to the photographer in New Mexico, you know, to people who have been threatened just because they express their religious beliefs publicly.
Right.
So there is a religious liberties conference coming up.
That's right. In so Freedom 2015 is going to be in
Des Moines, Iowa.
Des Moines, Iowa.
Yep.
November 6 and 7. And there is at least one presidential who has said that he is coming. That's Ted Cruz. And we're trying to get as many as possible. We've even invited Hillary and Bernie Sanders and all the presidential candidates can come and speak at this Religious Liberties Conference.
And it is in the forefront. So this study by Barna is timely because there are several conclusions that they drew from this. First, Americans have a relatively gloomy view of religious freedom in the United States. Many Americans express significant angst over the state of religious freedom in the U.S. Slightly more than half of adults say they are very, that's 29%, or somewhat, 22%, concerned that religious freedom in the U.S. will become more restricted in the next 5 years. And among practicing Christians, evangelicals particularly, that shoots to 71%.
Yeah.
Now, it's amazing because this has come up from at least 10 percentage points from a decade ago, that religious freedom in the U.S. has grown worse in the past 10 years. So there is a significant spike in concern that it's not just our guns that are being taken away, but the mention of God publicly is being excised from our lips, if you will.
Yeah, and there's even a group out there who wants to get rid of "In God We Trust" from our money. You know, they're saying that that is, you know, the establishment of some religion. And so the Supreme Court's come back, at least, you know, the times that it's been put before them, that, you know, the term God really doesn't even mean anything anyway. So there's no reason. You know, it's just a saying, and so we can leave it on the money.
Right, right. So it's really interesting because Christians realize that Jesus is God, and when you use the word God publicly, it's a very generic term, and it tends to be accepted by many groups.
Yeah, because they, you know, they believe that there's a God out there.
Right. He's almost a Santa Claus kind of figure.
Yeah.
He's a grandpa that lives in the nursing home, and you go visit him once a week, or you go visit him on Easter, or you go visit him on Christmas, and you pat him on the hand and say,
"Well, you can't
we'll
say
be
Christmas.
Back.
I'm sorry. You have to be happy holidays.
Yes.
Happy holidays."
And you pat him on the hand and wish him happy holidays, and you go
That's
on your
right.
merry way, because he really doesn't have any impact in your life. And yet for evangelical Christians who will openly say Jesus is God, there is a difference, and those are the ones that are greatly concerned about the loss of religious liberties. Now, the culture says, "Well, we should have a revolution. We should turn to our guns." Okay, so it's God and guns. But we here on Generations Radio, what we're talking about is the issue of religious liberty and how we, as Christians, fight that loss in this nation. You know, throughout the world, Christians have always been in the minority. Christians have always been on the short end of the stick when it comes to liberties. Because in other countries, Christians have stood up against tyranny. Christians have stood up for those who are oppressed. Christians have stood up for the right to speak the gospel and recognize that there is a higher authority than the state. And those in positions of authority and power at the state level don't like that. They don't want to be called to account. So in many ways, Christians are the Nathans who stand before the kings, the Davids, and say, "Thou art the man," and call the nation back to righteousness. They call the nation to repent, even leaders, because we recognize a higher authority than the state. And so that's why there's always this tension between the state and those Christians who speak boldly, because the state wants to suppress that liberty because we call the state to repentance.
That's right. It comes down to the recognition of where our rights really come from. And so if you want to say that, you know, the majority or the state or the Constitution, the government gives you your rights, then they are the ones who can also take it away. So if you happen to be an African American 150 years ago, you know, you didn't have much rights, and then it changed through a constitutional amendment and through a war and things like that. But, you know, that could come back again. And so if you think that the government is the one who gives you rights, then they can be taken away. But see, we as Christians recognize that our rights come from God, that he's the one who gives. And when he gives, he does so because he's perfect. And if he's perfect, he doesn't take those rights away. And so you've got to recognize that your rights come from God. Now, the government wants you to believe that your rights come from them and that everything comes from them. But there was somebody who actually said that a government that is big enough to give you everything that you want is also big enough to take away everything that you have.
In this Barna survey, it says that there's widespread agreement on what religious freedom means, at least in principle. There may not be total agreement on how or when to apply religious freedoms, but there is a commonly accepted definition for the term. 9 out of 10 Americans agreed with this statement. True religious freedom means all citizens must have freedom of conscience, which means being able to believe and practice the core commitments and values of your faith.
Only in your home, though, right? Well, you can believe what you want in your home, and when you go to your church, your place of worship, then you can believe what you want. But you know, you can't tell me that I can't bake a cake, or that I have the choice to not bake a cake for somebody, right?
And that's why there is growing concern, because traditionally we have had freedom of conscience to act as we see fit based on our core beliefs. And what's happened is the government is saying, no, you must adhere to our core beliefs, the secular state, and therefore religious liberty is being stripped away from people. And if they can do it to one group, they can do it to another group. And so Christians traditionally, historically, have stood for liberty for all, not liberty for some. Because if we don't have liberty for all, we have liberty for none. And so we have stood for the right to speak, even in dissent. And sometimes, many times, the gospel is dissent. And that is, this is sin that's being practiced in the culture. God calls you to bend the knee to his grace. Because if you're not going to bow to grace, you will bow to the law of God. And yeah. So we call sin, sin, and that is dissent. When the state says, no, this is not sin, it's just an alternative lifestyle. No, this is not sin, it is merely a procedure. It is not abortion, it's just a procedure. So when Christians stand and speak in the public square, the state seeks to suppress dissent. That's why the First Amendment was written. That's why the First Amendment was passed, because it was for those who speak in dissent to the establishment, if you will. And that is basically done by those who have religious convictions. And so it is for religious speech. It wasn't just to stand up and shout, you know, theater in a crowded fire.
Yeah.
You know? There was a reason for this, to protect those who were in dissent, who held to religious convictions. And so the concern among our people across the board has risen that religious liberties have been curtailed, are being stripped from us. And so when we come back, we're going to talk more about this report from Barna, and then what can Christians do? How can Christians respond when evil seems to be winning? What are we to do?
God and guns keep us strong.
persecution against Christians is on the rise in Iran, Iraq, Pakistan, China, and now America. Religious freedom in America is no longer a foregone conclusion. Now is the time to bring religious liberties, parental rights, and freedom from big government to the forefront of consideration in the 2016 elections. Now is the time to stand. Get educated, equipped, and inspired at the Freedom Conference in Des Moines, Iowa, November 6th and 7th. Go to freedom2015.org to learn more. That's freedom2015.org.
And I don't want no one to cry, but tell them if I don't survive, I was born free. I was born free. I was born free.
And you know what? Many people are concerned that religious liberty is not going to survive.
Yeah.
Even though religious liberty is key to the liberties, all the liberties we have in this nation, and we were born free men. We were not born slaves. We were born free to speak or not speak. We're born free to talk about God or not talk about God. We're born free to pass out literature about God or not pass out literature. We're born free to meet and assemble about God or to assemble not about God. We are free. We're free under law of the Constitution. And there are many people who are concerned that our religious liberties are being curtailed, that liberty is not going to survive the next few years if laws continue to be passed and the Constitution continues to be reinterpreted by the courts.
Yeah, they seem to be forgetting that we are endowed by our Creator with certain inalienable rights, and that's the right to life, to liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. And the pursuit of happiness basically is an extension of our liberty, which is our freedom.
Yeah, and it meant property. You know, that's what they meant by that. It wasn't license to do whatever you want to. It was that we have liberty under law. So this Barna report is really interesting because it does say that with most Americans, we're subscribing to the us versus them narratives. And this is particularly true among Catholics and Protestants, among evangelicals. Among evangelicals, that's at 97%. So if most Americans agree religious liberties are being restricted, there's much less consensus on why that shift is taking place. And evangelicals believe it's because some groups are actively moving society away from traditional Christian values. And specifically, it's 3 out of 10 Americans say that it is, quote, the gay and lesbian community mm-hmm. is the most active group trying to remove Christian values from the country. Now, the younger you get in the survey, the less likely that is the case, the less likely they are concerned about the loss of religious liberty. So among evangelicals, that's 97%, but that's not the case among the general populace. And there is a difference of opinion about which values should dominate the nation's future. Some say that, even though they agree that religious freedom should be granted to all people of all faiths, there's still a significant number of people who believe traditional Judeo-Christian values should be given preference in the public square. And so there was an analysis of this, and one of the persons said, you know, even though they think we should have religious liberty, they're not so sure that it should be anything that goes, that Judeo-Christian values should dominate. And they said that seems to be a contradiction, but it's really not, because where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty.
I was just thinking that.
Yeah, we as Christians recognize that we can have liberty, that the only way you can have liberty under law is if you recognize, first of all, there is a Creator, and that each person has worth and value because they bear the image of the Creator. Even those who commit heinous crimes still get due process because of the idea that they are worthy of justice.
Yeah, and there needs to be witnesses. And so you can't just accuse somebody and then hope they get sent to prison or executed or anything like that.
So we recognize as Christians the value of the individual, and therefore we are granting him the right to disbelieve, not just to believe, but to also disbelieve. But when it comes to laws, you can't have a multiplicity of beliefs in your law. Your law must rest on a firm foundation. If it is not a biblical foundation, then it's going to be a secular foundation. But those two are at odds with each other. And so you can't have tolerance in a secular culture. Tolerance does not fit in a secular culture. Even though they wave the flag of tolerance and tout tolerance, they will not tolerate any dissent to the secular agenda. And Christians, on the other hand, we wave the flag of we will believe in liberty for all, even your right to disbelieve. Now, if you break a law, then you are punished. But you still can. You're not forced to believe Christianity. You're not forced to believe in God. You can believe in no God and still live in a country and have liberty if that country follows a biblical worldview.
Yeah, the problem is that man then, you know, when God is no longer part of your belief system, then man then becomes the ultimate of all of the world. And we see that there are problems, and so we want to create a type of utopia by man's rules, and that we try to then we have to force people to behave a certain way so that we can have this fleeting utopia that we keep looking for, where everybody is happy and everybody tolerates everybody else, and if you don't tolerate this, then we're going to kill you.
And that's the problem, because Christians will stand up and speak against sin no matter where it is. And once you do that, then you're intolerant. And that is the chief sin in a secular culture, to be intolerant of what the state advocates and what the state endorses. If the state endorses homosexuality and you stand and speak against that, then you are labeled intolerant. If you stand and speak against Planned Parenthood selling baby parts, then you are considered to be intolerant and a bigot, because the state supports that. And so that's why the First Amendment exists, so that it guarantees the freedom of those who speak in dissent. And it is religious speech was the reason for the First Amendment, because it's Christians who stand and strongly speak from a moral basis that certain actions by the government are absolutely wrong, no matter whether they are passed into law or not. And so once you have this loss of freedom of conscience, this freedom of speech, this First Amendment liberty, not only do you lose the right of dissent, you also lose the right to proclaim the gospel, because a secular culture will continue to encroach upon the church's proclamation of the gospel, the individual's proclamation of the gospel, because it disturbs their peace. The strongest, the highest value that the culture has is peace.
Which is not the peace that God gives. No. It's an absence of conflict.
And the highest value the Christian have is truth.
Right.
And so whenever you speak the truth, no matter how lovingly you go out and speak it, you always disturb their peace. They're going to try to kill you. That happened with Paul in Acts chapter 22. You know, the Jews unjustly accused him. And they accused him of everything from stealing towels out of his hotel room to trying to start a riot to mm-hmm. stealing, you know, silverware out of the temple. None of the charges were true. Not a single one was true. And they knew it. So they dragged him before the Roman court because they were occupied by Rome. And they said, we want this guy killed. But they knew they couldn't make the charges stick. So what they did is they devised this plot. Let's get the court to transfer him to Jerusalem so that we can try him there. That's what we'll tell the court. But on the way, we will assassinate him, and right. we'll be rid of this problem. Well, Paul found out about this, and he stood up in the court, and he said, can't touch this. Uh-uh. Can't touch this. Can't do this to me. I am a Roman citizen. I appeal to Caesar. Now, wait a minute. We look at that, and we go, wait, wasn't Rome a corrupt government? The answer yes. is yes, it was, but it still had laws that protected its citizenry, and Paul was a Roman citizen. Now, we as Christians have a biblically based document to which we can appeal. We don't have to roll over and say, oh, well, I guess, you know, this is not my kingdom. It's not, you know, I serve a kingdom not of this world. That's true. Okay, we're aliens passing through, but we have laws that protect us and our free speech and our right to proclaim the gospel. And unless we exercise our liberties, and when we are suppressed, appeal to the Constitution, then we're going to lose those liberties.
That's right.
So we follow in Paul's example. Paul appealed to Caesar. We follow in Peter and John's example in Acts chapter 4, when the Supreme Court of Israel said, you can't do this. You can't go out and preach in the name of Jesus. They didn't say, we're going to disobey you. They said, we must obey God. They were always obedient to true authority. They appealed to God. Paul appealed to Caesar. We, as U.S. citizens, have a biblically based document to which we can appeal. It is the Constitution. We need to defend the First Amendment liberties to speak. Now, that doesn't mean we defend profanity in the marketplace. It doesn't mean that we defend, you know, people saying things that are crude and rude. There are limits on free speech. What we do is we defend their right of dissent, because we don't want to suppress ideas. We want to destroy them. We want to expose them to the truth and let the truth, you know, blow them out of the water. Yeah. I don't want to destroy people. I want to destroy ideas. And that's what we as Christians should do. That's why religious liberty is so inextricably tied to the proclamation of the gospel. If you do not have First Amendment liberties, then pretty soon you will be under duress if you proclaim the gospel.
Yeah, and we are to speak the truth in love, and that is in agape. Agape meaning wanting what is best for that other person according to what God's will is. And so it is speaking the truth, loving the other person, wanting them to come to that truth, which is Christ. And we seem to forget that as Jesus was heading out in Matthew 28, where he said, all authority has been given to me in heaven and upon earth. There's only one kingdom, and that is the kingdom of God. And so we appeal to God ultimately when, you know, and if man comes along and says, well, you can't do that, we don't roll over and play dead and say, well, I guess we're done. No, we stand up for the truth and still speak the truth in love. It's interesting that Peter and John ended up standing before Caiaphas, saying that it is by the name of Jesus that this man is now walking, and that Paul comes and stands before Caiaphas, and it says, the name of Jesus that I'm saying these things. You know, it's exactly what Jesus did. They weren't, you know, trying to bash him. They were witnessing to him. They're saying, it is, you know, he was risen from the dead. You're the one who paid everybody off in order to tell this lie. You know he rose from the dead. You know it is by his name that these people are healed. You know it is the power of Christ. Come to Christ and be saved.
And be free.
And be free.
Because that is true freedom, to know the one who created you and the purpose he has for your life. And unless we as Christians exercise our liberties of free speech and proclaim the gospel everywhere, and that doesn't mean just from the pulpit. I hear too many times people stand up in church and in the public prayer they say, I thank God that we live in a country where we can still gather and meet. And I'm going, wait a minute, wait. Yes, but don't you see what's happening around us? Should we not be praying for those people in positions of authority that they have their eyes opened to what the Constitution says, to what Scripture says? And not that those two are equal, okay?
Right.
But we have a biblically based document to which we can appeal. And unless we stand and say the same thing, that I thank God that we can proclaim Jesus Christ in the public square, not just in our churches, then we have the wrong mindset. We have the wrong mindset. We are going to lose our liberties to proclaim the gospel if we just say we'll only do it in church.
Yeah, we need to be more on the offensive. Not to be offensive, but you know what's interesting is that if you try to only defend, you have two options, either to lose ground or stay where you are. That's not how Joshua was. Every piece of ground that he walked on, God gave to him. And so he didn't walk around Jericho and then say, well, you know, since they don't want us to come in, well, I guess we'll go on to the next place. No, he took Jericho, and we need to stand for what God stands for. We need to be on the offensive and to go out and speak the truth in love. We need to go into the world and make disciples. It's not wait till they come to us. We're to be the salt and light of the earth. And salt and light, if you take a look at that, we have a world that is in darkness, and they are wounded, and they're hurting. Well, what does salt and light do? It hurts their eyes, and the salt hurts their wounds. And so just by you being you, just by you being a Christian, you are salt and light. You're going to end up causing a little bit of pain just to start with. And that's why we need to speak the truth in love.
Yep. And I don't want to suppress the opposition. I want to challenge them to public debates and exercise my free speech to speak the name of Jesus Christ publicly and destroy bad ideas. Not people, but bad ideas. And until Christians begin to do that, we're going to lose this war for religious liberty. And we need to understand that the more concern we have, the more we should be proclaiming truth and grace. That's our mission. And even if the First Amendment is gutted, it doesn't mean we stop speaking. It just means we're going to face persecution and liberty for all, not just for Christians, but liberty for all is going to suffer.
And that's why you all need to sign up still for the Freedom Conference. It's coming up in Des Moines, Iowa, November 6 and 7. Go to freedom2015.org and sign up. You can still get some, I believe this. You can still get a good price for that, but it's still not very much anyway. We'd like to get 4,000 or 5,000 people to show up. There's going to be some radio stations there that will be able to broadcast it as well. We're hoping that this will be heard by 4, 5, even 10 million people to hear what we can do to get back the freedoms that we've lost.
So sign up today. This is Bill Jack.
And Steve Vaughn.
Here on Generations Radio.
Hoping that you'll come back and listen to Kevin and eventually maybe us again as we look to bring more faith and freedom to the next generation.